Greetings in Christ Jesus, and welcome once again to the Twin Steeples podcast. I'm your host, Pastor Joe Nauman, joined today again by Pastor Neil Radical. Twin Steeples is a production of Emmanuel Evangelical Lutheran Church here in Mankato, Minnesota. And our main goals of this podcast are to share God's saving word with you, the listener, and to communicate the ongoing activity of Christ's kingdom here at Emmanuel. How are you doing today, Pastor?
Very well. Good to see you.
That's good to be. Good to be back at church and working here. Today we will begin with a brief devotion that Pastor Radical has prepared for us on 1 John.
Yeah, we're looking at 1 John chapter 1, verses 3 through 4. Not to be confused with the Gospel of John, but the three epistles that we see later on in the Bible. So we're reading from the New King James Version. "That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you, that your joy may be full." Last time we had talked about the church as far as the Holy Christian Church and the visible and invisible churches, and I think this is a really neat section that helps us really gather in what the apostle is saying here. So, of course, the disciples who walked with Jesus learned and talked with him and shared that word of God with all they came in contact with. And that's what John's speaking of here. He says here in that second part, "That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you." And Peter mentions that too, that they have the prophetic word confirmed for them, not just hearing from God, but hearing from his Son, Jesus Christ, and speaking to them. And so that's ultimately what our fellowship is based on, is our fellowship, our relationship with Jesus Christ, that word, as John writes in the gospel, that word made flesh for us. And so that fellowship, that relationship, that partnership of faith is what we have in the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then John goes on to say that these things they write and declare to the people so that they would have fellowship also with the apostles, with the disciples. So the idea there is that the fellowship is not just between Jesus and us individually, it's also between other believers. And then to what extent is that? Well, the point is that we have that same fellowship as the Father and the Son, and if you look through the rest of that chapter, that idea is that if we say we have fellowship with the Lord and don't walk in the truth, then we have a tainted fellowship here too. And that's what I think he's expressing here in verse 4. "These things we write to you that your joy may be full." Well, when there's agreement with what we believe, what we teach, what we confess about Jesus as our Savior, as our one who has risen from the dead, who's conquered death itself to give us life and immortality, those truths make us joyful and happy. When we're in agreement of those truths about what we have in Christ, what his word teaches us, that makes us glad. That makes us realize that we're on the same page. We're plowing the same field. We're doing the same work for Christ. We have that fellowship together in the work of the gospel, in the joy of the gospel. And that joyness is full and complete as we pray for that strength to be united in Christ and in his word and all that he teaches. Just like any relationship on earth can be one that struggles when there's disagreement, we rejoice when the Lord brings agreement to us, not just in his word in our hearts, but in our hearts together in that word. So I think this is a really encouraging section to see the positive elements of fellowship, not just with the Lord, but with one another. And that whole idea of how these things were written to us, that we would have that joy, and that joy would be complete as it's complete in Christ and his word. I'd like to hear your thoughts. Do you have any thoughts?
Well, what I really like about this is, you know, it ties together we have termed the phrases horizontal versus vertical fellowship. And here you can see both aspects of those fellowships in this one verse, in verse 3. You know, the fellowship that we have with each other is that horizontal fellowship. But even that fellowship is based upon the pure and perfect fellowship that we have with the Father and through his Son, Jesus Christ. And the reason that we have that perfect vertical fellowship with Christ is simply by faith. And that's where, you know, we want to make sure that we understand that everybody who believes in Jesus, everyone who trusts in Jesus for salvation, is a part of that holy Christian church, as you mentioned last week, Pastor, in our study, in our podcast last week, that fellowship is based on the work of Jesus Christ and the blood that he shed for us on the cross. And because he did that, now we have that unity. You can think of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, where Paul says that we have been reconciled to God, that everything that was in the way between us and God, this great gulf of our sin and all the problems of our sinful nature, those things have all been wiped clean by God, and now God sees us through the perfect blood, blood of Christ lenses that look on us as being righteous and holy before him. And now as we in our earthly lives seek to emulate that holy Christian church fellowship, now we strive to have fellowship with each other, and that's what builds this joy up. A couple weeks ago, we took a look at that Psalm 133, where it said how good and blessed it is when brothers dwell together in unity, and it surely is a good thing, and it's no different in the Old Testament than it is in the New Testament. God wants us to be united together in the truths of his word, and there really is only one correct interpretation of his word. Sadly, many churches wind up with all kinds of different false teachings and false doctrines, and that's why we are constantly on the lookout and constantly striving to be sure we stay true and faithful to the Word of God so that we can have this full joy, as John speaks about in verse 4.
Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, we give you thanks and we adore your name for all that you continue to reveal and show to us about yourself, the truthfulness of your Word, and the joy that we have in your salvation. Help us to remember that although we have hurt that relationship with you by sinning against you, you went to the cross and suffered that hurt and pain to give us the true joy of our forgiveness and eternal life. For this we thank you, Lord, each and every day of our heavenly inheritance through you, our Lord and Savior. We ask you continue to help us to not look at that word fellowship in the Bible as a four-letter word, but as a blessing, as one that continues to give us that union with you and like-minded believers in your word of truth. Bless us in that truth. Send us your Holy Spirit and continue to help us to have joy in our hearts for that day of salvation when you come to call us home, to be with you forever in heaven, that fellowship for eternity. In your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Radical, for that. A couple of announcements today as we continue through our podcast here. Once again, our midweek Bible study is on a break through the month of December. We took a break last week because of Thanksgiving, and now this week with the beginning of our Advent services, we are going to take a break until January, and at that point we will take up our study on the Gospel of Mark. Our Bible class continues with our study of the liturgy. We're picking up now. We're getting into the communion part of the service, which is actually a whole separate service. So there's a service of the Word, and then there's a service of the sacrament, and so you kind of get into this week in a little bit of what it means that there's a whole different service for the communion liturgy, even though we may think of it just as one service. So if that's interesting to you, please come on by for that study this weekend, following service on Saturday and before service on Sunday. Also this weekend, we have our communion pickups. That'll be Friday from 5 to 6, Saturday from 11 to noon. If you're joining us via the internet and you'd like communion, please plan on coming by during those times to pick those up. Also want to remind everyone that our gym has been, the gym work is completed, but the final layer of polyurethane is still curing, so we are keeping that gym closed through December 18th. It is not available for use by anyone until that date, which is again the governor's lockdown date as well. Again, picking up tonight, our midweek Advent series starts. We're doing a series called Isaiah Hath Foretold It. We're taking a look at three different sections from the book of Isaiah, detailing the different details about who our Savior Jesus is and what he has done for us. This evening, Pastor Mayhew from over in Sleepy Eye is going to be guest preaching, and I'm heading over to Sleepy Eye to guest preach over there. So hope you can join us for that. Again, it's only at 6 p.m. We're not having the 1 p.m. service as we have customarily done, only the evening service. But again, that will be live streamed for anyone who'd like to make use of that as well. Finally, we make our way into our prayer list today. Our prayer list is getting a little bit more extensive, which is it is a blessing for us to know those people who need our help, but our care and our prayers. So please keep these Christian individuals in your thoughts and prayers, and keep bringing your petitions to God, because we know that he hears us and that he indeed answers our prayers. So we continue to pray for my mother, Desiree Nauman, who is about 2 weeks into her hospice care at this point. We continue to pray for Jacob Bussey, who is again receiving treatment for his cancer. We continue to pray for our teacher, Beth Grieve, who is also receiving treatment for her cancer as well. We pray on behalf of Liam and Simon Housechild, who are the twins of Rachel and Kenny Housechild. These two young men are still up in the NICU, up in the cities, and so we keep praying for them, that the Lord would give them healing and allow them to return home soon. We also pray on behalf of the family of Doris Hollower. That would be the grandmother of our Emmanuel member, Kyle Holke. She was called home on Sunday evening, or Sunday afternoon, I believe, and there are funeral arrangements for her as well. We also pray on behalf of Harold Woolley, who is still rehabbing following his surgery he had a couple weeks ago. I've been told that probably 2 or 3 weeks and he'll be able to return home, so we keep Harold in our prayers. Also pray on behalf of Sharon Schaller, who suffered a heart attack the evening before Thanksgiving. She had a number of stints put in over the following few days and is now home recovering from that, so we give thanks to the Lord. We also pray on behalf of Sonia Omundson, wife of former Emmanuel pastor Keith Omundson. She has been diagnosed with liver cancer, a growth in her abdomen, and they have placed her on hospice care here in town as well. So we definitely keep Sonia in our prayers and pray the Lord would deliver her ultimately to heaven to be with himself as well. Which brings us now to our doctrine of the day, and it was kind of introduced a little bit through our opening devotion, but the doctrine of the day today, we're going to cover church fellowship. So what are some of the ideas and topics you'd like to cover in connection with this doctrine?
Well, as you know, Pastor, there's a ton of questions that people can ask about this difficult concept. It can be challenging, and it can be looked at very negatively. So I'd like to start by asking, we're going to look at just three questions for today to try to give a good understanding of what fellowship is. So what would you say would be a good biblical definition of fellowship?
Well, I think the word fellowship really, it includes the idea of working together, of putting your minds and your hearts and your thoughts together in a union, we could think of. You know, communion is kind of a related word, and the Greek word would be koinonia, that would refer to fellowship. And that's, I think, where we need to start with is that whoever is in a fellowship is all on one team, working together, striving together, in an effort together for one purpose and one goal. And of course, when we talk about the fellowship in the church, of course, that needs to be, now we need to be united in as you mentioned in 1 John, the doctrines that we have seen and heard that has been declared to us, the word that God has given to us. And so there's a unity that is desired there. That's how I would define it. Any expansion on that?
I totally agree. I feel like it's very tempting to look at fellowship, but sometimes we talk about a potluck fellowship or a church fellowship gathering, and that's a very low-key use of that word, not so much a biblical concept. It does talk about that in Acts, where they would gather together and have all things in common and share. You mentioned the word communion in that way, share in that way, but definitely what unites us is the Word of God, like you mentioned, and I think that's the big point to make with fellowship, is that just like we said in 1 John, like you mentioned, it's the word that unites us. It's what they heard, what they saw from Christ that united them in the doctrines of God's word. That's why we belong to a church, because we're united in what the church teaches. So yeah, that I like your definition of fellowship there. So another question would be, so why is fellowship then a difficult concept to apply?
Well, I think this is where, you know, this last Sunday I preached on sin, death, and the devil, you know, our worst enemies. And this is where, you know, these enemies of ours try to get in and to cause problems and strife between us. You know, we talked about how good and pleasant it is when brethren dwell together in unity. That's the converse idea of that is also true. How miserable and sad it is when brethren are not dwelling together in unity, when they are trying to dwell in unity, when there is not unity. And you can see this in all kinds of other, especially other big mainline churches where, you know, even think of the Catholic Church with, you know, the Pope recently comes out and says some pretty positive things about homosexuality and unions in society. And the Catholic Church is pretty split on that. You know, there's a lot of priests and bishops out there who condemn what the Pope says. And, you know, to have that, that's disunity. You know, they claim to be one united church, but, you know, there's not, when there's not an agreement on what God's word clearly teaches about that doctrine. Why is it a difficult concept to apply? Because our sinful nature gets in the way. You know, we would rather cling to things we're familiar with, or we'd rather cling to family members rather than cling to the important doctrines and truths of God's word. But what did Jesus warn? He said, "He who does not love father or mother more than me is not worthy of me." Or, "He who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me." You know, God, another time he was asked by a young man who asked him, "What is the greatest commandment?" He said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind." And the second is like it, you should love your neighbor as yourself. So what's the greatest commandment, loving your neighbor? No, the greatest commandment is loving God and loving his word. And that's what we strive for and we hold to in this doctrine of church fellowship is clinging to the truths of God's word as it has been revealed to us by Holy Scripture and as it has been explained to us through the Holy Spirit working in our hearts to understand the truth of that word. You know, so we here belong to the CLC, Church of the Lutheran Confession. I believe the CLC is a true teaching church, which is why I'm a member of it. But as soon as the CLC is not a true teaching church, I'm no longer going to be a member of it. We shouldn't hold to a synod simply because it's our synod. We shouldn't hold to a church, even like Emmanuel, just because it's our church, because our parents always went to it, or now our grandparents went to it. We cling to it. We hold to a church that teaches the truth of God's word. And that should be the standard by which we decide what our fellowship is.
I really think that this was not a soft toss. You really knocked it out of the park with everything you said there, because it's based on our relationships primarily with other people. But like you said, with Jesus, what is the greatest love? It's showing love for God first. And so I really like the way you responded to that. So the last question would be, how does an understanding of the invisible Holy Christian Church, invisible churches, help us grasp fellowship? You kind of commented this already a little bit. So do you want to just elaborate a little bit
more?
Sure.
So what do I want the fellowship in my church to look like? You know, it's kind of the question that we need to ask then. And the answer to that question is we want the fellowship at Emmanuel, which is our church, or whatever church you may be listening, you may belong to, listener. You want the fellowship at your church to reflect as closely as possible the fellowship that takes place in the Holy Christian Church. And remember, the Holy Christian Church, within the Holy Christian Church, there is no sin. There is no false teaching, because those things have been wiped clean by the blood of Jesus Christ. Within the Holy Christian Church, we are all saints, called and redeemed and made perfect in the blood of Christ. And because of that, our fellowship is perfect. And, you know, as we are looking on this side of eternity, it doesn't look like it. You know, you think about all the different churches in town. We all have, there's different teachings everywhere. There's, you know, churches that tolerate sin, people who are living in sin. There's hypocrites. There's, you know, all these things going on within churches. And churches have all kinds of problems. You know, just look around and open the newspaper once in a while. And boy, churches have problems. But we need to remember that God sees not all of our sin. God sees not all of our false teaching, which is another form of sin. God sees us as perfect and righteous through the work of his son, Jesus Christ. When we get to heaven, all those sin and all that false teaching and everything else is going to be wiped away, and we're going to have that perfect unity and fellowship. So while we're still here on earth, we may say, well, that's the goal we can never attain. So what's the point? Well, what's the point of sanctification? What's the point of trying to live a better life today than I lived yesterday? Should we just give up on that just because it's impossible? No. Absolutely not. We should continue to strive to live a better and more holy life before Christ. We should continue to drown our old Adam in daily contrition and repentance, realizing we're never going to completely beat sin because we're still sinners living in a sinful world. But when recognizing that Jesus has defeated sin for us, and the same way that we strive to get rid of sin in our lives, we need to strive to keep false teaching out of our church as well. And that's what we strive to do, and that's what it means to work on our fellowship, to continue to use what God has given us in his word to eliminate those impurities, to filter out any false teaching or ideas within our members or within our personal minds. And it, you know, all this talk of false doctrine, false teaching, it always starts with yourself, right? And I think that's one of the most important things we need to remember, is make sure that I'm looking to my own heart, to my own understanding of God's word. I'm taking that plank out of my own eye before I go to my neighbor. Now, we're certainly are to help and encourage each other too, but self-reflection, working on self and your own understanding of God's word first and foremost is definitely the first step that we should all be taking. You know, and before we go out accusing somebody of doing something or saying something wrong, making sure that we have a good and right understanding of what God's word teaches on a particular subject.
I think that that's a really good place to stop there for right now, because there's obviously going to be a ton of questions of how do we apply this, and it comes back to that word of God, like you were saying. It's if we're focusing on God's word, then that's what's going to be our first love. And I think Jesus continues to remind us of that love for the word, love for that unity that the Spirit blesses. And that's why I can look at it. That's why I like to try to look at fellowship as a blessing from the Spirit. Satan likes to try to divide. Christ unites through his word, and that's what we pray that he would continue to do among us as well. I thought it would be a closing hymn to read. one that fits, I think, 1 John really well in this discussion. From hymn 464, it's a short little verses, "Blessed be the tie that binds." Of course, that tie is fellowship in God's word, which unites us with Christ, which unites us with fellow believers as well. "Blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love. The fellowship of kindred minds is like to that above. Before our Father's throne, we pour our ardent prayers. Our fears, our hopes, our aims are one, our comforts and our cares. We share our mutual woes, our mutual burdens bear, and often for each other flows the sympathizing tear. When here our pathways part, we suffer bitter pain. Yet, one in Christ and one in heart, we hope to meet again. This glorious hope revives our courage by the way, while each in expectation lives and longs to see the day. From sorrow, toil, and pain, and sin we shall be free, and perfect love and friendship reign through all eternity. Amen."
Thank you for joining us on the Twin Steeples podcast. Once again, Twin Steeples is a production of Emmanuel Evangelical Lutheran Church in Mankato, Minnesota. Until next time, may God bless you and keep you. And may you always remember, Emmanuel, God is with you.